On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, we talk about the All-Star Game. Why? Well, if you're watching on YouTube, it's because we're here. Citizens Bank Park in the background. We have Matt Gelb of The Athletic on to talk all things Phillies here for the Midsummer Classic in the city of brotherly love. We do Derby preview. We do Otani's a coward and doesn't want to face Drew Rasmussen. We do draft. We do futures game. And we avoid talking about the Nats bullpen. Buckle up. It's Barbacast time. Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world with more aluminum bats than Bryce Harper. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. This is The Athletic's Matt Gelb, a man more synonymous with this city than Santa and batteries. Matt, thank you for joining us here at Citizens Bank Park.
It's an honor. Thanks for coming to the ballpark. First All-Star game ever here.
Yeah.
Home game for Matt Gelb. We have had you on the show before, but we figured this was a good time to bring you back because as we get ready for the All-Star week, I guess we've already been here for a couple of days, but the Phillies are not just hosting. They kind of have all of the main characters, both that are here and are famously not here.
Yes. We will talk about all that and a lot more with Gelb, but that is our opener. All right, so I actually want to begin with something very simple, which is that we have never had an All-Star game here. This park has been open since 2003?
Four. So close.
And yet, no All-Star game. It took 22 years. Why did it take so long?
I mean, there is a story behind it. Phillies, their longtime team president, chairman, David Montgomery, who ran this club for decades, he believed that Philadelphia should host the All-Star game for America's 250th birthday. And that meant waiting. The Phillies had it here in 1976 at Veterans Stadium for the bicentennial.
Yep.
They had it in 1996 at the Vet. And there's been a lot of ballparks that jumped them in the line, but David Montgomery was really passionate about this. And David, sadly, will not be here. He died a few years ago of cancer. They announced this game before David's death for that reason. I mean, this was, Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, was very close with David Montgomery. And this was one of David's last wishes, that this game be played this year at Citizens Bank Park. So it's taken a while, but there is some real meaning behind it.
And that news came out a long time ago. Like, we knew about this,
like,
site
7 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. It's been a minute and a half. And for those of you that haven't been here at Citizens Bank Park in a while, there's actually an area in center field called Monty's Angle in honor of David Montgomery, where is that little area where Justin Crawford jumps into the wall all the time.
Where JT Realmuto hit his inside the park home run in the 2023 NLDS?
It was against the Braves.
See, this is so funny.
Matt Gelb was looking at me being like, Jordan, you haven't covered any of these games. Which game was that?
They played the Braves in two consecutive NLDS.
Was it the Braves year where everyone got mad at me, or the Braves year where no one knew who I was?
It was 2022. It was the year that no one knew who you were.
Yeah, those were the good old days. Let's stay with the Phillies. Christopher Sanchez has been officially named the starter for the All-Star game for the National League. Pretty much a foregone conclusion when we knew that Mizorowski wasn't going to be here. Sanchez, Cy Young frontrunner alongside Mizorowski. Just tell us a little bit about the journey that he's gone on from just a guy to starting the All-Star game in his home park.
I mean, it's amazing. I think as Rob Thompson, former Phillies manager, he actually managed the Phillies at some point this season. Crazy.
He said we're all younger then.
He would say that, Sanchez's transformation is like one of the most amazing things he's ever seen in baseball. And I think that sums it up. I think a lot of people feel that way. This was a guy who the Rays traded off their roster because they didn't have enough space to protect him under 40-man. Classic Rays. And they got Curtis Meade. The Rays won the trade for like the first 2 years. And Curtis Meade's actually fine now. He's good.
But not for the Rays.
No. But I mean, Chris Sanchez, he grew into his body. He always threw really hard, didn't know where he was going. Classic development story where he just figured out his mechanics, his body. He started putting on weight. They were begging him, please put on weight. He was so lanky, like rail thin. He put on weight, and the more strength he put on his body, the better he was able to repeat his mechanics
do this every day.
Control his pitches. And the changeup was always a really good pitch. It became an elite pitch, maybe the best changeup in baseball. And, you know, this guy finished second in the Cy Young last year. I think a lot of people know about him already, but it's cool that he's going to get his sort of national moment. He's going to get a little slice of the spotlight in his home ballpark, in the All-Star game. Look up his numbers at home. It's unbelievable. I think he has a 0.87 ERA at home this year. Since in the last 2 years, I think his ERA at home is like 1.4 something.
Yeah.
He's really, really good here. So it's fitting to me that he's going to get this sort of spotlight at Citizens Bank Park starting the All-Star game.
And this is maybe a little bit of like a too simple of a question, but on a team that has so many stars, where like this era of Phillies baseball got established before Sanchez was a relevant part of it.
Correct.
How long and how exactly did it go for him to kind of carve out this space within Harper, Schwarber, Wheeler, Nola, Lizardo, Turner?
I think it really started to happen last August when Zach Wheeler went down with the blood clot, and then which ended up being thoracic outlet syndrome. Chris Sanchez started game one of the playoff series last year against the Dodgers, and they didn't lose the game because of Chris Sanchez. And so, you know, they were all looking to him as when Wheeler goes down, it's like, okay, like, you've been really good. We know you're good. You're the guy now. And he did that and more. I mean, in game four, also, they did not lose that game because of Chris Sanchez at Dodger Stadium. He had two phenomenal starts in that series. And I think it just proved to everyone, okay, this guy is a guy. Like, he is a dude, and he's just gotten even better.
Last thing on Sanchez, and then we'll move to the other Phillies main characters this week. It has been a successful season, but a lot of that success has come at home. He's had some weird, especially early on, like he had multiple games where he allowed more than 10 hits. Were those just fluky, weird defense, weird days?
He's bad night's sleep.
He has now had actually allowed more than 10 hits in his last two outings. Has anything, like when you look at him this year compared to last year, is this just a fluky thing or is there something that is a little bit off?
Some of it is fluky, at least early in the year when like everything was going wrong for the Phillies. I mean, like in that stretch there, it was just, you know, they fired the manager and they were 9-19 and things were really, really bad. Heard about
what?
That. Yeah. Well, he hasn't been as crisp this year maybe as he's been in previous years. And I think that's definitely a thing. The change of times.
I mean, in May, he was literally.
It was really good.
Yeah, we should just say 55 consecutive scoreless.
There was a stretch where he was really, really good. Now, bookending that scoreless
is
streak,
not
it's
as
been,
good.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
But I think what to me, he's graduated to like ace-dom because he has posted on the days where he doesn't have his best stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And like it hasn't been maybe as good as you think it could be on some days, but then you look up and it's like 6 innings. 10 hits, 2 runs, all right, and they win the game. And so, to me, that's he hasn't had his best stuff every 5 days, and they're still winning behind him. That, to me, is an ace.
Hopefully, on Tuesday night, he's locked in, and we can call him Crisp Sanchez. Mm. One guy who won't be here, me, when I get arrested for that bad joke, Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler will not be here. Where will he be?
I'm going to guess somewhere down the Jersey Shore.
Down the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
With a beer in his hand, feet in the sand.
What a weird...
Not watching the All-Star
what
game.
I hope not.
Are you sure? Will Zach Wheeler watch the All-Star game?
No.
Will he watch the Derby?
No.
No.
Maybe. I don't know. He has kids now. Maybe they want to watch
the Derby. Kids might want to watch.
The funniest is if they're like, Dad, we want to watch Logan Webb.
Ooh, yeah.
Can we put on Max Meyer?
So, Zach
also not
Wheeler,
pitching in the game.
Yes.
Zach Wheeler is one of several big names that will not be here this week. Now, the circumstances behind some of these other absences, obviously a lot of them are injury-related. In Zach Wheeler's case, he has returned from this injury to have another awesome season, and MLB, for whatever reason, decided, not an all-star. Jesus Lizardo will be here. He's having a good season, not as good as Zach Wheeler. The latest update here is that MLB tried to go back and be like, no, please, come! And Zach was like, this is ridiculous. I'm not showing up. I am going to go sit on the beach or wherever. I actually do not blame him whatsoever for this result after all of this. Don't blame him. It's stupid that he won't be here and be able to get his cheer. But after all this, I do not blame him at all for saying, leave me alone.
Well, I think part of it is that he would have had to pitch an inning. And, like,
he might have had to throw five, considering how many people are pulling out. I don't know who's left.
Quite a few pitches in Sunday's game, which lowered his ERA to 2.2-something, I think. He struck out 10 guys again. An unbelievable. Like, I just want to put the All-Star stuff aside.
Yeah.
Like, what this guy has done
in
the first 3-plus months of the season is unbelievable. I don't know any other word
to
describe it.
He was ready in April. I mean, I wasn't really – I mean, you, of course, were covering this closer, but I wasn't – when this first happened at the end of last year, I was like, okay, maybe we see him in June. Like, who knows?
I mean, he was upset that he came back as late as he did. Like, he – like, yeah. In the offseason, he was telling people he spent most of his offseason here at Citizens Bank Park in the area, like, working with the athletic trainer and the staff here. And he was like, I'm going to be back for opening day. And they're like, like, no, probably not. But he's like, oh, I'll be back in April. And he was back in April. And it's not just that he's come back. Like, he is – he doesn't have the kind of velocity he once did, but, I mean, he is back to his prior self. He might even be at times better than his prior self. And, like, that is just – off of that surgery, that injury, at his age, it's unbelievable.
If he had come back and been pitching to a 3-5, we'd be like, unbelievable. Yeah. What is it, Jordan? It's like a
– down to 2. Well, he pitched today.
He did.
So it's under 2-2-8.
I think it's down to –
and I don't know if you were there the day we learned about the injury.
I was not.
In D.C., I had just moved to the district, and the Phillies win a game. We go down, and we walk into the visiting clubhouse, and President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski, is just standing there, and he's like, I need to speak to the reporters. And we were like, you what? Like, it's mid-August. It's
no
like,
trade.
There's no trade. No. Like, what could this possibly be? Turns out it's this injury. And that day just had, like, it was sad. You didn't know if Zach Wheeler was ever going to pitch again.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it was also like, that was the blood clot. It wasn't even the thoracic outlet syndrome.
That was scary.
That was, like,
that was just
scary,
a scary thing,
like,
right.
You know, if they hadn't caught the clot when they did, like, you know, you start thinking about other things. Like, what would have happened? Like, you know, it was... It's just amazing. It is amazing what he has done. What's the ERA now?
6 scoreless today. He outduels this Tarek Skubal fella, another non-all-star, we should say.
You can join him at the beach.
10 strikeouts, 2.13 ERA
2-1-3.
Mr. Zach Wheeler.
He just confirms my suspicion that anybody willing to go bald before the age of 30 has a level of self-confidence that the rest of us cannot begin to understand. Right. Speaking of self-confidence... Bryce Harper's doing the home run derby.
Oh, he sure is.
Against his will.
He doesn't want to do it. Please. So Jordan and Jordan and I went to high school.
You insist.
Jordan and I had a friend from high school who has just a beautiful voice. She is a professional opera singer. She was on American Idol. And she used to do this thing when we would do karaoke where she would go, don't make me sing. Please don't make me sing. And then she would just belt out the most beautiful voice. That's Bryce Harper doing the derby.
Yeah, I'm going to extend the
metaphor
comparison. Now, in her high school friend's case, when she would get up there, there was really nobody else that was going to come close, right?
To her singing.
So no matter what, she went up there, it was like, well, she's...
It was like if her classmate also had a great voice.
In Bryce Harper's case, he's going to do it, but he will have some hefty competition in the form of his pal and teammate, Kyle Schwarber, who... lost to Harper in this same event many moons ago. Anything pre-COVID might as well have been decades and decades.
We were in high school.
2018.
We were not in high school.
It feels like it, though.
Okay, it feels like it. We were in baseball media high school. the point is, this dynamic of Bryce and Kyle Schwarber, you have watched it up close for many years now. As you now apply it to a home run derby, an event that, frankly, I don't have any sense to how much you, Matt Gelb, care about, have ever cared about. But as someone who knows Jake Mintz very well, you know how much he cares about it. How are you thinking about these two going into the derby on Monday night?
I mean, I can't wait to see what happens. I think that I wonder what happens if Schwarber beats Harper in the final. Harper said he wouldn't ever do it again after he won it.
Yeah.
He's doing it again. He probably wants to win it. Schwarber probably wants to win it too. Might not care as much about winning it as Harper does.
Yep.
You know, Bryce doesn't have his dad throwing to him. He's going to use Dino Ebel. Like, you know, he's got some built-in excuses if he doesn't win. And I don't think everyone's like, if he doesn't win, if Harper or Schwarber don't win this event, like, are people going to be upset? Like, I don't think so. I think Phillies fans, the average Phillies fan would be like, they shouldn't do the derby. Why mess up your swing? You know,
how
think
Justin Crawford do the derby and like
sure.
Try to
have Alec Bohm do the derby.
Marshawn
Bohm do the derby
again. Bohm do the derby again.
Again, that's true.
I think it's gonna be fun. I'm not a big derby guy. I'm kind of excited for this one.
Yeah.
It's gonna be entertaining.
He admit it. He's excited.
He admit it.
Wow.
I did.
Wow.
It's
so
cool.
That's brave.
It's gonna be cool. Honestly, because like you said, this ballpark has never had an All Star game, so they've never had a derby.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see balls go in this place where. They've never gone before.
So
right?
let's talk about that. We're gonna
preview
the derby.
There's a legitimate chance there are very few people on the planet that have watched more balls get hit in this. Like you're top 50. top 50 batted ball flight?
Maybe,
in
I
this
don't
park?
Know. Todd's lucky who's here today.
Oh, yeah. Todd's
He's
older
seen
than
more,
you.
Yeah.
So let's, as we look out on the field, like, what is within range?
I mean, has
mind?
Third well, deck so, been done?
Yeah, it's been done by Howard and I think Charlie Blackman, if I'm
sure.
correct. But Evan Gaddis hit one over to the flagpoles. Like, it landed at near the base of the flagpoles. It was off Cole Hamels. It is the longest home run I've ever seen
Left
hit
center,
here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scoreboard?
No one's ever come close to that. I mean, I'm wondering, does somebody get to the second deck on Ashburn Alley, above what you see now?
Yep.
I don't mention sponsors that maybe don't sponsor this podcast, but you see the
Heck
green
yeah.
signage over there, yeah.
Right
yeah.
where it says, Baja Blast.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder if somebody gets it up there. Yep. That would be a lot.
That would be a real Baja Blast.
We'll do the full Derby preview later, right? I mean, we have five lefties and three righties,
yep.
right? So Caminero could absolutely do it. Jordan Walker and Wilson Contreras.
It is lefty heavy. I didn't
know that. Yeah. So five, but it's pretty balanced. Sometimes we've had, I think, up to six on one side.
One of Bryce or Harper will get it into the third deck. I saw Harper hit one into the third deck in BP here three-ish weeks ago.
Okay.
Rare time where he hits BP outside, and he was just literally, he's like, I was trying to hit home runs.
Yes.
And he was hitting them very far.
Had to have been why he was doing that to.
Possibly. He was also
it seems like it's not.
Yeah,
not
maybe.
He's also in a weird place.
Yeah, he was in a weird
going
place.
Going to the heavy bat.
He started swinging a heavy bat. Yeah.
Oh, is he going to swing the super?
No.
No way. Oh, my God.
He'll be gassed.
He might kill himself.
One bat he definitely won't be swinging is the aluminum bat. Now, Bryce Harper made some news this week as ESPN's Buster Olney reported that Bryce wanted to use the aluminum bat for the bonus round. Now, we should say, I'm not salty. Don't put it in the newspaper that I'm mad. But Bryce did soft launch this idea to me and Matt about 3 weeks ago in D.C.
Yes.
And we had
you smiled and nodded.
We had very different responses.
I was a father of children. Think of the children, yes.
Matt has kids.
Yes.
His thought was, what about the children in harm's way?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have no kids.
Let it eat. Maybe that's the only difference. I mean, frankly, I've been kind of thinking about the kids for a while now in terms of the Derby. Like last year with O'Neill Cruz, knowing how hard he can hit the ball. Every year I hope we avoid any serious injury. And it feels like they've done a pretty decent job of getting some older kids. They don't have as many like 8-year-olds running around out there as I feel like they used to. That said, the metal bat idea is absurd. It is something that is like so cool for 5 seconds. And then you're like, no.
I mean, Harper's point to us was basically like, wouldn't you want to watch that? They would be the most watched home run derby in the history of the sport. And I said, yeah.
For Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he said. This is entertainment. Make it entertaining. Like every Bryce Harper idea makes you go. It's like the meme. It's the Alonzo Mourning meme where you, like, move your head back and forth.
I think the most interesting part about that would be, like, these guys haven't swung with metal bats in years.
And
like,
some of the Latin guys have
never
swung.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
this is we were talking about this exact point with Harper, yeah.
Caminero's been swinging wood since he was probably 10, so I don't know. It's a ridiculous idea that obviously is not going to happen.
I want to finish just with the Harper-Schwarber dynamic. Is it going to be fun if they match up in the finals, or is it going to be tense?
It's going
to
be tense.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I think I agree, because the dynamic here in Philly is very interesting, where Harper shows up in 2019 and it's his team, it's his city, it's his world, it's his universe.
Yes.
Schwarber shows up, and for the first couple of seasons that he's here, he is the perfect Robin to the Batman.
Yes.
Where he's like helping everyone be good. The Philly's first good season's 22, the year he shows up. Makes a lot of sense.
Hitting some dingers.
Just hitting a whole lot of dingers, having a nice time. Last year, Kyle goes to this next level. Not just in terms of production, but in terms of stardom, where he starts to kind of chip away at the stranglehold that Bryce has on the attention of the city.
For sure.
Which is something that Kyle does not care about.
Has no interest in.
Like, he's happy to go on Abbott Elementary.
Yes.
But it is not a priority for him. Bryce, not the case. If Bryce loses, he will be more peeved than if Kyle loses. But if Bryce wins, it will be magnificent. He will hit 500 the rest of the year.
So you've agreed
with everything
on that.
Jake said.
Okay. So here's where I'm at on this. First of all, my party pooper answer is now I know they faced off in the finals 8 years ago. Considering this field, which has some like Caminero, the odds of them finishing in the finals, I think, are pretty low.
I agree with
that.
Okay? I agree
with that. If we get unless we get some like FIFA level rigging,
yes.
I don't think.
Whoa.
I don't. Oh, sorry. I don't think we're going to get that.
Straight
that
red.
That said, what I'm interested – oh, go ahead.
Well, I said if one of them gets to the finals, though, then all of a sudden it does become this great thing where, like, the other guy is there.
That's what I was
like,
going to say. Becoming, that's what I was going to say.
The whole crowd is behind him because it's a home player.
That's the thing. Is like, if one of them loses – obviously, if Schwarber loses, he's not going to care. Although, reminder, he did get embarrassed and lost to Albert Pujols last time, which I have to imagine doesn't want to happen again. But I bring that up because, right – how quickly can Bryce get over himself losing? If Bryce goes out in the first round, it might take a little bit for him to be like, all right, I'm still rooting for Schwarber. And then if they both lose in the first round, then it's kind of a hilarious ending to all this.
Best case scenario, I think, for us is they face off in the final.
Yes.
Best case scenario.
Wait, us or Matt?
And America.
Yes.
I think Jake, Jordan, America, best case scenario, those two in the final. I think best case for Matt, as someone that is around the Phillies all the time.
Well, I don't know if you want to say what best case is for you.
You know what my best case is for tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right. Before we get out of here, we should probably talk about the three other Phillies All-Stars. Brandon Marsh.
I mean, the Phillies have, Marsh is going to be starting in the outfield.
Yep. Duran might close the game,
and that'll be a cool show. Like, I mean, sure, people have seen his entrance, before on TV.
Yeah.
But, on a national stage, that could be kind of cool.
It's his first All-Star game.
It is his first All-Star game, which is kind of wild to me.
It is absurd.
Schwarber's going to be starting now, right? Because he's the DH.
Yep.
Because of Otani's gruesome injury.
More on that later.
And who am I? Jesus Luzardo. He's going to throw an inning in the game.
Maybe he should throw right-handed to honor Zach Wheeler. What do we think about that?
That'd be the ultimate honor.
Like Kruk did.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Kruk turned around and faced Randy
Johnson. Be Zach. I'm going righty. Marsh is an awesome story. Let's finish on Marsh before we let you go. His elevation from, that's like, what a good player to have around. Like, a useful guy, can hit righties, like, good energy. Obviously, he's become very popular here. And now is he an all-star starter quality, whatever that even means nowadays, who cares? He's having an incredible season and is absolutely all-star worthy, and he's going to get to start in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I still, they finished today facing Tarek Skubal in Detroit, and Brandon Marsh is in the lineup. And that's still, like, I have a hard time kind of processing that because Brandon Marsh has been a platoon player for the duration of his career to this point, and this year he is not. And I don't think that's why he's been playing better, but it has helped him. I think he has confidence, and he's gotten some hits against lefties. Are his numbers against lefties great? Not really, but that's okay. He's been a guy that can put out there every day. He is a competent outfielder for the Phillies, which is something they really haven't had.
With the bar is as low as it can be, and he's clearing it easily.
And, Jake wrote a great story about Brandon Marsh a couple weeks ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That really captured, and it is a really nice story. It is deserved, I think. And he will probably have a lot of fun out there, and I'm sure he'll be he'll probably be mic'd up, or he'll have, there'll be some sort of segment. He's swinging a bat with a cheesesteak on it. Like, he's very much going to lean into the All-Star game stuff, and so that makes him even more worthy, I think, of playing in this game.
Another man that will lean into all things All-Star, Matt Gelb. Thank you for joining us here in your wonderful city. It feels like just yesterday that we came here and signed the Declaration of Independence together.
Yeah. What is that? Is that a...
You didn't steal it? You signed it.
Is that a joke about Matt being old? I don't know what that was.
Justin Verlander will come out here and he'll be like, I remember when we signed this thing. That's the joke I meant to make. We'll take a quick break. And when we're back, Matt won't be here. And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. If you know me, you know there are three things on this earth that I truly care about. My wife, my Buffalo Sabres, and the MLB Home Run Derby. Jordan, tomorrow night, right behind us, the balls will
go flying. That's too bad.
I'm
below the Derby and the Sabres. Definitely below the Sabres. I'm fine with that.
That's fair. The Derby is my favorite night of the baseball season. An evening that exists only because it is fun. It is whimsy-centric. It is joy-forward. That is how we operate. But before we dig into the contestants of this dinger-knocking jamboree, we have to go over the rule changes. For the first time in 28 years, the Home Run Derby will not be on ESPN. Instead, it will be on Netflix. And with a new carrier comes new old rules. That's right. The clock, dead, gone. The time-based system had been in effect since the 2016 Derby, the first Derby that you and I ever went to together. But we got a new world starting again tomorrow.
Yeah, it is kind of almost counterintuitive, right? We think about how the pitch clock was instituted to speed the game up and
yep.
keep the pace up. But I think that the drawback for maybe a new broadcaster like Netflix, new carrier, in terms of maybe some of their ideas in terms of how they're going to show the Derby. Now, we should caveat this whole conversation about what I'm about to say. I'm going to do my best here. Because we have been fortunate enough to be at all the Derbies since 2016, the television product, especially yeah. as the format has leaned more into the clock and has become a little bit more frantic, more frenzied, more fast-paced, where guys are just trying to hit as many as they can in a short amount of time, and the pitchers are really fast. In the park, it can be a little frantic, but it also yeah. is very fun and energetic. I can imagine on the broadcast, it can become pretty difficult.
Netflix's priority yeah. is storytelling.
Yeah.
It is going to be easier for them to tell stories and build narratives if there are more pockets in the action mm-hmm. where they can do that.
Yep.
And that is why I think this shift has been made. It is certainly not a coincidence. So what are the new rules?
So now it is going to be swing-based. There's no timer and there's no outs, but you only have a certain number of swings. So in the first round, the eight contestants will have 20 swings, which in theory means they could just take pitches all night long. I don't know how they're going to enforce that. I imagine this will also yeah. be kind of like a just hey, have some feel, right? But it also is going to depend on the pitchers to give them pitch, because I'm not going to blame the batter if their BP pitcher yep. sucks. And we can talk about who those guys are in a second. That is one of my concerns about this, but you have 20 swings in the first round, 15 swings in the second round, 15 swings in the finals, and every swing counts, right? Whether you homer or not, like it's about the swings, not how many you homer. But if you homer on your last swing of the round, you're able to keep homering in perpetuity if you're able to keep that hot streak up. So that is the only way we're preserving like the hot streak element.
Sure. What it means yeah. is this Derby could last forever. In yeah. theory, it could never end.
Right.
Either because a dude just stands there and takes a million pitches, or they just hit home runs until the sun explodes.
And this is relevant because we, of course, are planning on doing a live podcast after the Home Run Derby on Monday night, which we hope everyone tunes into on YouTube. So we're looking forward to that. But we have no idea.
Swing the bat.
We have no idea when that's going to start. So that's the main difference here. And
now we should say,
yeah,
of the eight competitors, there's no bracket format, so they'll right. all be grouped in one
for round
whatever.
One. Yep.
However many you hit.
And the top four will advance, and then the top two will advance. And
no.
Oh, no.
Then it is bracketed up.
Oh,
one will go against
okay.
four,
Never
two
mind.
Against three, head-to-head matchups in the semis, and then the finals. So that's the setup. I think it is going to drag a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that it is going to be a really quality product on Netflix. I think they will do a good job with this compared to
Let us know, because we'll be here.
We'll be here. what I thought was kind of an underwhelming, disappointing, disjointed attempt on opening day, where I think
they forgot different assignment, but that's
about,
true.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this is more in their lane. Let's move to the competitors. Since we last talked, we had the final hitters added to the field. Kyle Schwarber is indeed doing it, as I said all along. And then the final guy, Munetaka Murakami, for those of you just tuning in now. Our octet is Kyle Schwarber, Ben Rice of the New York Yankees, Junior Caminero, Tampa Bay Rays, Jordan Walker of the St. Louis Cardinals, Bruce Hooper of the Southern Nevada Junior College Mavericks, Wilson Contreras of the Boston Red Sox, Munetaka Murakami of the Chicago White Sox, and Jack Caglione of the Kansas City Royals. Jordan, have you had enough time to look up Bryce Harper's college mascot?
The Coyotes. Sorry to report. Not the Mavericks.
Mavericks was right in spirit. So that's our field. We could go any number of directions. We've already talked about Harper and Schwarber with Mr. Gelb, so let's just put them to the side for a second. Caminero is the only character here that has done a derby before.
Whoa. Okay. That's a good point. Wilson Contreras has done the Venezuelan Winter League Home Run Derby. And I don't know what... Here's the thing I'm embarrassed to admit. Do they do Home Run Derbies in Japan? Because I imagine if they have, that Murakami would at least be invited. But I genuinely don't know.
I have not seen footage.
And for that, I am embarrassed and ashamed. And so But to get back to your point, and I know Ben Rice has like done it in a summer league, but you're right. In terms of doing an MLB home run derby, none of these other guys have done it.
And I think that is one of the reasons why, if I was the odds maker, I think Junior Caminero would be the favorite.
However, because of the first part of this conversation, Junior Caminero is about to embark on a very different challenge than the one he did last year. And so while I mostly agree with you, because Junior Caminero is amazing, and to doubt him would be to be quite foolish, this is going to be more about really execution as much as it is let's get hot.
Yes.
Let's start swinging the bat fast and frequently, fast and furious. It's going to really be about precision almost as much as it is maybe just like a bat speed freak show.
Yeah, last year, Caminero was the youngest guy in the Derby. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that maybe is again.
Yeah.
That would just allow him to just like.
Oh, him versus Cags is close.
Swing. And from aerobic perspective, he might have been more dialed in. Sure. Whereas I think in this Derby, it's going to require a little bit more focus. Mm-hmm. It's less about adaptability and adjustability, reacting to a pitch in a given location, I think.
Yep.
Where Caminero's in-box athleticism allowed him to kind of take over.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm swinging at this pitch because I need to, because there's a clock. If it's two balls outside, I'm swinging, I'm going to hit it out. This is a little different, right? And I think for that reason, Schwarber, the type of hitter he is, where it's focus, selectivity, he's a picky swinger, famously. A lot of strikeouts. Hopefully he doesn't strike out tomorrow. I'm thinking about last year's All-Star game when it was tied. And how did they fix the tie? With a swing-off. How did that end? Kyle Schwarber going yard three times on three pitches. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen a baseball player do. I think if there's anything that you can draw from in the world to be like, that experience would help them with this experience, I think that's it.
I think you're right. I also think that that is an important point about what this is going to feel like. Now, that is super condensed because it's you know, this three swing-off. I have to imagine what Netflix is kind of counting on, as opposed to the previous format where it's just this like build up and just like
home
this
run,
rush,
home run, here's
this
a home
rush
run, home
of chaos and dingers, is like the tension of a total being really close at the end and you only have so many swings left and you have to execute. And I think that like that's, I mean, sorry to lean into the cheesiness, but it's drama, right? It's drama, right? It's like a different kind of theater. That's what I think that they're hoping to get out of this format. And I think that it might work and I think that it might not, but we're going to see. So getting back to the other contenders, Caminero, I agree with you. I mean, he's certainly the one who, we've had, you know, in our decade covering the Derby, there have been some very memorable losing efforts and his was right up there, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Julio's in there. Vlad is in there in Cleveland for sure. Josh, that's well before our time, but yes, Josh Hamilton. So Caminero was that last year, and I think it was clear he wants to win this event at some point. So I have no doubt that that is going to happen at some point in his career. Will it happen tomorrow? I guess we're going to see.
The dearth of superstars on the American League side has sort of made this the Junior Caminero week. And I think that if he goes out and wins the Derby tomorrow, obviously, we will remember this event as Caminero's event.
Let's speed run through the rest of the competitors and just like, what are you thinking about? Like, Ben Rice is an incredible story. It's a ridiculous story. I mean,
went to Dartmouth.
I mean, this is not even one of the Ivy Leagues that's like going to the regionals.
Sure. When you're at Dartmouth and the world is at your fingertips, you can go into any field at a place like Dartmouth, right? Oof. You're not thinking about the Derby.
No.
When you go on your visit at Dartmouth and you're walking around campus and they're telling you about Greek life and the science lab, you're like, do you guys have a home run derby?
Yeah, I would like to
class.
What do you want to do at the, you know?
What do you want to do when you're
done here? I want to be in the home run derby. So his dad's going to be throwing to him. That'll be very cool.
Mistake.
And obviously a lefty. We'll finish on the derby throwers. But Ben Rice it's an amazing story. He has, of course, become a very important character in this Yankee season because of Judge's injury. He was kind of struggling recently, trying to handle that bulk of the responsibilities. But
got hot into the break.
He has proven it as one of the best overall hitters, not just home run hitters. And I don't really know what to expect from him. He's honestly the one I kind of have the
When you look at home run distances and home run exit velocities, he is pretty squarely in a tier below everyone else.
Everyone else, yeah. That's a good point. He just did not have quite the raw juice. But again, that might not necessarily matter. Yes, distance can be a tiebreaker in the first round, but it won't be as relevant. You're not getting bonus time for hitting it 430 or whatever it was.
He will not hit the longest home run
believe he will.
Jordan Walker might.
And what I'm thinking about with Jordan Walker is it's not just that he has become, obviously, broke out now in year four after two really concerning seasons after his really impressive rookie year in 23. But now he's, unlike his rookie year, where it was like this really young guy who's hitting pretty well, but it didn't like resemble big, strong Jordan Walker. Here's this big slugger. Now it does. Now it's like, yes, this dude is crushing baseballs, as he should, because look at him.
Yeah.
He is enormous. He has elite bat speed. And this is why you draft the kid that looks like this in high school. And so he's been a big part of the Cardinals being pretty decent this season. And while I think from a like name, brand, value perspective, he's pretty clearly eighth out of this field, I do think
his
it's pretty exciting to
as the guy that's got to write off the Derby tomorrow, his win gives me the most to do.
Probably correct.
It's still an interesting
trajectory.
He does have the hardest hit homer of anybody in the field
this season. Wow,
this season at 116 miles per hour. Let's go to Wilson Contreras, who hopefully won't throw a helmet at anybody. Instead, he'll throw baseballs over the fence with his bat, which is how people talk about home runs.
He will throw
his hands at the ball.
Yes.
He'll throw himself into the proceedings.
Wilson Contreras, who I guess is technically suspended for this home run derby. Right?
Right?
Is he
allowed to? If I was in the final against Contreras, I'm coming out there for the final and being like, Blue. Excuse me, sir. This guy cannot participate.
Still serving. He missed this whole series. The Red Sox just swept the Mets, by the way. They've won 9 in a row. Wilson Contreras did not participate. So, very hilarious for him to be serving that suspension right now. I think he's still suspended on Friday. Anyway.
You know what it's like? It's like you're in timeout. Yeah. You're grounded, sir. However, we do have this family event that you need to come to.
So, the point I was going to make about Wilson Contreras now really applies much more to Jack Caglione, which is like, you're the only one having any fun on this team. Now, that has changed with the Red Sox over the last 2 weeks. Definitely for Caglione, we'll get to. It's like, you know what? Go have some fun, because otherwise, this is an absolutely miserable experience for the Kansas City Royals. But you just got to give Contreras credit. It has been such a chaotic season for the Red Sox, and he's just come in and had the best year of his career. I mean, I thought it was a great addition. At the time, he has already matched his home run total from last year in half, almost 50 fewer games. His career high is 24. Now, we thought that ballpark was going to be great for him, and it has been. But he's just been tremendous. And obviously, not to mention everything he's been, of course, dealing with back home in Venezuela,
yeah,
which adds a whole other layer to it. But he's been really impressive this year. And I think he certainly has earned this, and I'm excited to see how he does.
Tired. Having your dad throw to you. Wired. Having your brother throw to you.
Ooh.
Wilson Contreras apparently asked his brother, William Contreras.
All-star. Fellow all-star.
Catcher with the Brewers. He said, hey, bro. Will you throw to me, bro? And William was like, that is a terrible idea. No, I will not throw to you. And so the Red Sox interim bench coach will be throwing to him instead. Let's finish up with Munetaka Murakami.
And Cags.
I cannot believe Murakami is here. I cannot believe he's doing this. He came off the IL on Friday.
Yes.
He's been healthy for 3 days.
What was his most recent game before that? I mean, he missed a good chunk of time.
He missed all of June, I believe.
Yep.
May 29th.
May 29th was his last game.
And yet he will be here. That is super cool.
God. I mean,
the year that this guy has had, afterthought over the winter, we thought he was going to get this enormous contract coming over from Japan instead. He falls as much as you can in free agency to the White Sox for 2 years, I believe $36 million, and just catches fire in April and May, goes in the IL, comes back, and here he's going to be. I mean, he has the most raw power in the Derby?
Maybe? He might, yeah. I mean, I think him versus Cags versus Caminero versus Warren.
That's
it's
half
again,
the field.
It's pretty close.
That's half the field.
But I'm saying, I don't think it's totally obvious, but he does have 114 mile an hour home run this season. I don't know what his max EV was back in Japan, but he was trending towards being an all-star anyway, right? I mean,
yeah.
I love that they even added him at all. and I feel so lucky, yeah, that he's doing. I mean,
yeah.
I think Murakami is the entrant that, because it obviously happened so late and we didn't expect it, that I am just literally getting more excited about by the minute. Like, he was been one of our first picks 6 weeks ago, and now he just kind of gets thrown in at the end. I mean, this guy's got, he's, his 20 homers, and he missed a whole month and a half. When he went out, I think he was, what, in the top three in home runs, right?
Yeah.
So, he was tied with Yordan Alvarez for second in homers when he got injured, right behind Schwarber. So, I'm so excited for him. I think he is an awesome addition, and obviously, like, in a week where we don't have Ohtani, to have an incredibly important Japanese player in this is not insignificant.
Absolutely.
So I'm really excited for him.
One guy who's not Japanese, Jack Caglione.
No, not Japanese. No. Team Italy. Cags, I mean, it's what I said before. The Royals are a total disaster. They were swept by the Orioles this weekend. And Jack Caglione is not an all-star, right? He's the lone non-all-star in this field. But I figured he was going to do it at some point in his career. Maybe I didn't think it was going to happen this year. But this is one where MLB is kind of reaching, going out of their way to say, listen, people would want to see this. This is a big name. He's one of the most impressive and famous college baseball players of the last, few decades. Yeah. And even
it's
on
like,
the
trust
Royals.
Trust me, bro. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. You want to watch this guy swing.
Yeah. It's not. We're not quite at O'Neill Cruz level, but I do think and hope he will hit one in the third deck.
His hardest hit ball in professional baseball, I believe, is 120.2.
Oh, whoa.
Happened in spring training.
Yeah.
That is really, really fast. I don't want to run through every single person's bullpen thrower, but the upshot for me.
Yeah. Let's just finish on this. And we'll take a break.
Two dads. Okay. Out of six dads. What's two out of eight dads.
Two dads, six non-dads.
25% dads.
Well, those other guys might be dads, but not of the
25% of the bullpen of the pitchers tomorrow will be the dads of the hitters. There you go. There are your stats. I think this is always a bad idea. I do. I'm a bummer. I know Cal Raleigh won last year with his dad.
Yeah. There are some dads have won.
And now that it is more important than it's ever been before.
That part is true. That's
different
now. Isn't
it more important to throw?
Yes.
Now? Or less important?
In terms of this being a successful event, it's way more important. In terms of the success of the hitter, you could probably argue it in both directions.
Mm. Predictions.
Caminero over Schwarber in the finals.
I will say Schwarber over Harper in the finals.
Come on.
What?
Rigged. Crazy.
If Argentina give me, over Harper.
Give me... I'll go Kings.
Who do we remember?
It's not Schwarber, I do feel good about. I'm totally with you in terms of like his skill set.
He's going to be good at this.
He'll be able to execute.
What do we remember?
Also, like Schwarber hasn't won yet, right? Lost to Harper. Lost to Pujols. Let's see. Make it happen, Kyle Schwarber. Maybe Kyle Schwarber, this is the other thing. It's like, we're just assuming he's going to be like, Bryce.
This is fun.
It's Bryce's thing. It's fine. Maybe there's part of him that's like, no. I'm winning this thing. And as we alluded to with Matt earlier, let's see how that goes. I think that's it on the Derby. We are so excited. Of course, we'll be going live after the Derby, whenever that is. So stay tuned.
Thursday night.
We are going to take a break, and when we return, we will hop around the league, do some more all-star roster updates, and I guess talk about the baseball that happened this weekend that we didn't watch any of.
Also
the draft of the futures game. We'll get to that later. All right, we'll be right back on Baseball Barbecue.
Happy Chalewski. And welcome back to this episode of Baseball Barbacast. We are here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but one very important character is not. Let's go around the league. You can shut it down, everybody. They're painting the field behind us.
Yeah, why?
Watering
why bother?
Grass.
Why bother?
Just wrap it up, pack it up, cancel the whole event because Shohei Ohtani, the only baseball player is not coming. Ohtani has pulled out of this 2026 All-Star Game. The funniest part is that he's playing
right now. Literally right now. Right now, he is 2-for-3 with a double and a homer, his 22nd home run of the season.
Ow!
And his left knee is absolutely killing him. All
killing
right,
him.
Listen. Ohtani he's taking his pitching very seriously. That has been a theme of the whole season.
Yeah, I noticed.
And part of that is when he has had these very brief moments where it's like, oh, not everything feels right. Let's be careful. Apparently he's dealing with some left knee inflammation. That is not preventing him from leading off and DHing and continuing to lead the Dodgers on offense, but it will prevent him from not only participating or pitching or hitting or anything here, but even being here at all. And
they have great
is,
hospitals in this city.
And that
he should
is,
come.
You get his treatment.
Ohtani, fly here. You can get your knee drained at any of the fine medical institutions
yes.
in the city of brotherly love.
The fact that he is playing is both funny because, again, as is with everything with Ohtani, it's just like, what this? I don't know how to talk about this. I don't know how to be really worried about how injured he is when he's going out there and hitting homers. But I am still taking it as a positive thing that I'm not now freaking out that he's like not going to pitch anymore this season because his knee is so messed up.
Yeah.
It is just a weird sequence of events. And it is important, not only because he's the most important, but because we just haven't done this in a while. He has been at every All-Star game for the previous five seasons. The last time we haven't had him in the All-Star game was 2019. Of course, 2020, no All-Star game. But guess what? He wouldn't have deserved it that year, even if there was a COVID All-Star game.
He was a
game.
Bum. People
he was,
forget.
He was terrible.
Ohtani, COVID Ohtani.
2020.
Washed.
The only time he was bad. But it has been a while. We have, again, it's just he's been the guy.
He's on all the advertising here.
And when you add in the fact that Aaron Judge will also not be here, breaking news to Jake Mintz, as well as many other players who will not be here or will not be participating, we have ended up with a very strange all-star roster.
Yeah.
While the reason we, of course, began with our pal Matt Gelb is because the Phillies are going to be, those are the guys. It is convenient that Philly happens to be hosting when they have some of the biggest names in the sport, even if Zach Wheeler is on a beach. But there's this void that can be filled by someone that we don't really know. The Derby is the first opportunity for maybe one of those guys to do that. The All-Star Game is also that, although it is a little bit more random and strange. And who, you know, All-Star Game MVP, one of the funniest awards in sports, I would say. But yeah, so we got a bunch more replacements too.
Let's talk about the replacements.
Let's do that.
I'm just going to fly through these. Chase Burns, Red starter, out. Foster Griffin, National starter, in.
Deserved.
Completely deserved.
Love it.
Very happy for Foster Griffin. Came over from Japan last season and he throws 8 pitches.
Yeah.
That's what he should do in his inning. Throw one pitch, the second pitch,
cycle
the third,
through
just cycle through him, then cycle through him again. Okay. Justin Robleski.
Oh.
He is coming as well, replacing Braxton Ashcraft, who himself replaced Paul Skeen. Nick Kurt's not coming.
Is he not even coming?
Maybe
he's not playing. He is on the injured list. I hope he's still showing up. He grew up coming to this ballpark. In fact, he probably sat in this seat right here at some point. Little Nick Kurtz.
He was actually Amish back then. He's out. Tristan Peters.
Oh my God.
Former Savannah Banana.
Forget that. He hit 8th today. How many guys have hit? He hit 9th on Friday. And guess what? I can't blame them because he's having a great rookie season. He's an amazing defender in the outfield. He's getting on base. Don't look at his Savant page. Don't worry about that.
Don't
worry about it. And he's a great story. So I'm happy for Tristan Peters. The AL outfield group is very injured and very not good. And so, great.
Whatever.
Tristan Peters. Sure. Good for him.
Munetaka Murakami is in for Byron Buxton.
That I'm hyped about.
That is fun. Ivan Herrera will be DHing for Ohtani.
After Kyle Schwarber. But deserved. Herrera, awesome.
Seidon Rafaela is in for Aaron Judge, which is hilarious because that's the opposite person.
Seidon Rafaela showing up at fresh off his W-9 with the Red Sox, feeling good.
He's going to be beaming.
Him and right, because Wilson Contreras didn't even get to participate in. So I guess
two weeks ago, we were like, do we really need any Red Sox at the All-Star game?
I guess we'll have Chapman will be here too.
Ranger Suarez won't be here.
He will. Okay, it's another being replaced.
Instead, Rays legend and Cy Young vote recipient, maybe Nick Martinez, will be here. And then the other news is that Cam Schwitler said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to throw. I don't want to play. So I don't want to go. I think he actually will be here. He's not pitching. I don't know if they're replacing him. We all thought Schlittler was going to be the starter for the game. He won't be. Dylan Cease will be of the Toronto Blue Jays. Congratulations to Dylan Cease. Starting on the mound in what will be his first ever All-Star game.
Ooh, yeah.
Straight to the starting spot.
I guess Skeens. Did Skeens start his first one? I don't even remember.
Yeah, that's a big one. Of course, some Yankees fans are upset because John Schneider, the manager of the American League team.
This was great.
Was like, yeah, I was always going to start Cease. What are you going to do about it? I'm in charge. I'm him. The opposite of, it would be great if Dave Roberts was like, yeah, I know he got added late. Robleski over Christopher Sanchez. But that's not happening.
There was a great Dave Roberts quote. They asked him about Sanchez within the context of people not wanting to be in the game.
Okay.
He said, quote, in a time when guys are not wanting to participate in the Midsummer Classic, this is a good thing that he's excited about pitching. Did he say that and then turn to Ohtani? Or flash a picture of Zach Wheeler? In a time when guys...
In this era of workload management.
When all these wusses...
It's just not what it used to be. So, yeah, we got... You know, we're going to show up to Media Day tomorrow and just be like, oh, you're here. Cool.
You know what I heard? Which is nuts as I bring it back to Ohtani one more time.
Please.
Apparently, Will Ireton was not coming.
Good.
Even if Ohtani was coming.
Good.
Let's clap it up.
Get that guy a nap.
Big winner for All-Star
Week.
Take
a freaking rest, Will.
Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Will Ireton, a man with 8 jobs and no time for himself.
No, he's finding time. You follow him on Instagram. That guy's racking up followers in a hurry.
I hope
he's posting from a beach somewhere.
Mix in a nap, Will. We're thinking of you.
That is the update for the All-Star roster.
Jordan,
the draft. Oh, but more stuff happened. We've been here for a few days.
The draft. Remember the draft?
The draft, Jake, still going on.
Right now? Is Ohtani playing?
We are in round 18 of the 2026 MLB draft. Rounds 1 through 4 took place on Saturday at the Grand Hall at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, downtown Philadelphia. Today, they are just flying through rounds 5 through 20. And by flying through, I mean it has almost taken 7 hours. But let's talk about day one. And let's talk about pick one. And let's talk about the first second. Maybe it was the second or third second of the draft. Jake Mintz, who was the first overall pick in the 2026 MLB draft, with the first overall pick in the 2026 MLB draft, the Chicago White Sox select
Rock Chulewski, shortstop.
Who?
Who's UCLA. That? Now, Rock Chulewski was the first pick. And the commissioner, Mr. Rob Manfred, strolled up to the microphone and delivered what I think will be the funniest Manfred moment as I remember him. I think there will be more controversial things. Him with the golf club at the...
You know what I'm going to say? Here's, we want a fire take here. This is worse than Hunk of Metal. How do you feel about that take?
I think that's a take that someone that cares too much about the draft would make.
Whether it's worse than that, who it's disrespecting,
whatever,
it is horribly embarrassing.
Oh my God.
And frankly, unacceptable. And that's, I think that's people that don't care about the draft would see this and be like, what? How does this happen?
First pick.
Is the one player that even casual fans have maybe been like, oh yeah, that Rock Chulewski guy, he's going to go first, right? Yeah, he went first, as everyone has expected for the last year. And somehow,
yeah,
we got Chulewski.
Or did he? Remember back in the day when we played fantasy football? And there were 2 Adrian Petersons.
Yeah.
And some kid would draft the wrong one, and you'd be like, oh, sorry, he's on your team. Maybe there's a Rock Chulewski out there.
Let's look at Jake, just trying to defend this nonsense. It was unbelievable. I still can't really wrap my mind around it. The video, if you haven't seen it, of Jake reacting. I'm just going to finish on this, and then we'll actually talk about the draft for a little bit. Jake was recording his reaction because there was suspense here. I mean, over the last few weeks, there was a thinking we talked about on the show. Okay, are the White Sox going to take Rock as we've all expected for a long time? Well, you know, Grady Emerson, Texas high school shortstop, Von Lackey, Georgia Tech catcher, is like, those would be good picks, and maybe they'll go in another direction. The White Sox themselves, their scouting director, came out and said, yes, these are the 3 players we're deciding between. And so when you watch the video of Jake finding out that the White Sox have taken Rock, when Rob Manfred says Rock, Jake goes, oh. Okay, so it's not Grady Emerson, right? No shock.
Oh.
It would have been a boring video if it ended there.
Thankfully, kept on rolling. Chalusky. And Jay's like, what?
That's not his name.
So I just, okay, anyway, we could go 10 more minutes on that, but let's talk about the actual draft. I mean, listen, obviously I spent a lot of time on this, so once you finally get there, it's kind of this crazy adrenaline rush, and you all these players that you've been talking about and thinking and talking to scouts about, and then they're just, boom, okay, now I'm just like thinking about them on all these teams and these fits and whatever.
Especially when it's crammed into a week like this where there's so many other things going on.
Yep, it's hard to really focus on it as much as I feel like it deserves, but I mean, I'll probably, you know, write at some point about some of these draft classes that I really appreciate. There were, I would say, if there was something notable from like a historic trend for even a casual fan that would want to know, how hitter heavy it was at the top. One pitcher in the top 15 has never happened until yesterday. So whether that's just the nature of this pitching class, whether that's a trend of teams are being like, why are we paying pitchers? They're all getting injured.
You could pay me to get hurt.
Right.
I'll get hurt for half.
Let's take some hitters. So maybe that's something we continue to see as a trend. But the top going is chalk. And then we got some pretty wild picks there in the middle of the first round. I would say the Carson Wiggins pick really blows my mind. The Mets first rounder, someone that only pitched last year as a freshman. And then this year as a didn't pitch at all because he got surgery because he's a pitcher and he got hurt. But the Mets still took him in the first round because they think he has some of the best stuff in the draft. And then I would say the other big draft thing that happened today, actually, anything else from day one that you wanted to mention before we talk about the biggest story from today?
I thought the event itself was really disappointing. I thought the way that the league broke down the set while second chunk was still going on, and you could hear the construction happening in the background while the folks on MLB Network were running the draft, was this example of, it was just disrespectful to the event, to the people on there. If you're going to do this event and you're going to have those people broadcast that event, don't make a bunch of noise in the back. Like, don't do better. Just do better. And it is just a reminder that the league does not particularly care that much about this event, and it re-engages the cynicism that I have about their new amateur proposal, where it's like, if you're going to look 100%. At the MLB proposal and you're like, oh, they have the best interest in the sport of mine, they understand the way amateur baseball works, they have the feel for this, and then you go engage with the draft, you participate, you see the draft in person. No, I just can't believe that. So I left frustrated, and I'm frustrated about that because it's a day that's supposed to be positive.
Totally valid. But yeah, in terms of other just like early picks that I really liked, I liked all their White Sox picks even after Rock. I love what the Cardinals did. Of course, they had 7 picks on day one and were friends with the scouting director, so sorry about it. Loved what the Giants did. I thought the A's got a lot of really good college players. Astros, Braves, Rockies? Or Rockies. Okay, Rockies. Josh Burns. Let Josh Burns cook. Love that. The last big draft story we need to mention before we do Futures Game and say goodbye.
Rintaro Sasaki.
Who made the historic decision to forego the NPB draft despite being one of the most accomplished players in Japanese high school baseball history. He decides, you know what? I'm going to America.
I'm coming to America 3. No Eddie Murphy.
Rintaro. Stanford. Goes to Stanford. Plays there for 2 years. First year, not awesome. This year, better. Not amazing, but it was like, okay, he's a good hitter. Really good college hitter. Draft eligible sophomore. Was at the draft combine. He was drafted by the SoftBank Hawks in the amateur draft last year. So the SoftBank Hawks, one of the most wealthy and successful teams in MPB, they have his rights to negotiate with him if he wants to come back. So we wondered, okay, is he going to go? Is an MLB team going to draft him and give him a chance to stay in the States? Will they draft him if they think that they're negotiating against the SoftBank Hawks? I don't know. We don't know the answers to those questions quite yet, but what we do know is that he was selected in the 8th round by the Miami Marlins. And so I just love this because this has been such a fascinating story to follow. The degree to which he has embraced this opportunity, his English is unbelievable for a kid of his age who just came to America. Like, it's incredible that he's so comfortable.
I don't even know if you remember this.
Yeah.
But I went to Somerset.
Yes.
In New Jersey.
Before he even played at Stanford.
Before he played at Stanford, he played in a local summer league.
Yeah.
And I sat down and did an interview with him with an interpreter for 15 minutes. His English at that point was not really conversational.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't expect it to be at that point.
And now he could do an interview.
For sure. For sure.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's way better than our Japanese.
Oh, yeah. But it's so impressive. And so I've just been impressed with how he's handled the whole thing, how he is as a prospect. It's not that it's secondary, because who knows? He has a lot to prove. But it's been an awesome story to follow. And I'm glad that he will at least have the opportunity. If he wants to go play in Beloit, you know,
sure, dog.
He's going to have that chance if he wants to sign with the Marlins and play stateside. Otherwise, he will, of course, be one of the most interesting stories back home in Japan. That is the draft.
Futures game.
Let's finish up.
Real quick, because
we'll
give this 7 innings worth of our time.
If that.
Maybe.
Honestly, I'm kind of sad. This is an event we used to care about, and every year, because it has been moved around and shortened to 7 innings and thrown onto different channels, and just like everything around it has become such more chaotic. They're making these kids show up and take BP at 9 a.m. today. You think you're going to get awesome BP from these teenagers at 9 a.m.?
No, these kids are up till 4 playing Fortnite.
Right. So, I mean, seriously, like the Futures Game BP used to be one of the highlights of the whole week for us. Now it's still cool because these players will be future all-stars. Like, that's true. That's still true.
And we get a sense for the physicality. Yeah. There are helpful things, but maybe we're old and we're worn and we're crusty.
I don't know, man.
We're not as jaded as other people.
No, and we're not the only, like, super dorks that are kind of just like, this is not the same thing.
When you talked about backyard baseball last week
and
how so much of the things in society feel like they're getting worse.
Yep.
The Futures Game in the draft is like the baseball example of that. Like, I think our game at the big league level is better today, more entertaining, more compelling, healthier
than it was when we started doing this.
Yes,
for sure.
And that's good.
Yep.
MLB, Rob Manfred.
Woo.
Crushing it. Get your hands off the Futures Game.
So, I don't know.
Let us do it.
That part. But still, you know, there were still some standouts here. Nathan Flewelling, the Rays catching prospect. I'm a big fan of that guy. And he homered and won the MVP. And then Seth Hernandez. Let's just finish with him. He was someone that we kind of teased coming into it. Say, this is a pitching prospect we want to watch. Yo.
I refuse to believe that there is a better pitching prospect in the minor leagues.
Listen. I mean,
you could
say it to Cade Anderson and Ryan Sloan's face, and you might be right.
They'd be like, yeah, I saw what he did today.
I was there. I was also a Futures Gamer. But yeah, obviously the Pirates have had some pretty exciting arms the last handful of years.
Yeah. Another one.
Another one.
That's what DJ Khaled meant when he said another one. He was talking about the Pirates pitching prospects. Let's get out of here.
We're done. We're going to go to dinner. We will be here. If you see us here in Philadelphia, say hello. If you listen to the podcast, we appreciate the support. We've got quite the squad here supporting us. Andrew Hartz, Colin Brennan, Rob Thomas up here helping produce us. Shout out.
Different one.
No, what if it was the Rob Thomas helping produce
this
podcast?
And we just held that for an hour.
That'd be incredible. Shouts out to those guys for helping us out. We're, of course, you know, first one's in, last one's out. Not a big deal. but we appreciate all the support and listening. Of course, if you're not subscribed to the new Yahoo Sports MLB YouTube channel, check it out. We've been posting a bunch of shorts over there.
We have wives to feed. They have jobs. I'm kidding.
Wives, yes. No, they're doing just fine without
us. They're fine without
us. Definitely not watching. Hopefully not watching. But thank you all for listening to this episode of Baseball Barbercast. Email us, baseballbarbercast@gmail.com, and we will be back on Monday night after the Home Run Derby at Time to Be Determined. So pay attention to all your social media feeds and Yahoo Sports MLB channel on YouTube, and you will see us on Monday night. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.